Raising Playful Tots, show number 121. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Raising Playful Tots. I'm glad that you could stop by today. My name is Alitza. Welcome to the Play Space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge, and lead us to have a great time with these kids so that we can introduce a new play idea. If you're new to the show, welcome, and hi to the regular playmates. Plenty of room, so come join us as we make easy homemade wrapping paper, thanks to the Imagination Tree. More about this after the interview. Last week's show, I shared an interview with Dr. Laura Hutchison from Play Dr. Mum about developing our play skills. So if you've missed that one, pop on over to the blog where you can listen to that show and find the archive of all the shows at raisingplayfultots.com/shows. This week's show, I'm talking to Stephanie Langford from Keeper of the Home about keeping Christmas simple and meaningful. While you listen, check out her site, keeperofthehome.org. After the interview, I'll be sharing some Christmas inspiration from two series that you just have to check out for the whole month of December. So I hope that you'll stick around. There's lots going on in the show today. I'll be right back after this break with the interview.
Look at all the cars. Lots of colored cars. Ah, there's a blue one. Isn't it pretty? Ooh, look how fast that red one's going. It's red like that stop sign. Like my jacket.
This is a 38-year-old man.
My jacket's not a car, is it? Is my jacket a car? My jacket is red, but it doesn't go fast.
He may sound a little strange to you and me.
Vroom. Vroom, vroom.
But to his 2-year-old son, who's interested in cars and colors, he makes perfect sense.
That's the sound cars make.
When you talk with your child, you build vocabulary, and learning starts long before school does. So follow their lead. Take simple everyday moments, like eating dinner or just watching cars go by, and turn them into learning moments.
Ooh, look, red car!
Yes! And it's moving awfully fast.
Blue car!
Yes! The man in the red car is about to meet the man in the blue car. Get himself a pretty pink ticket.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. For more tips, go to bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Today I'm talking to Stephanie Langford from keeperofthehome.org. I first met Stephanie at Blistem, where we roomed together along with Renee a few years back. If you've not encountered Stephanie, I suggest you pop on over to her blog, keeperofthehome.org, while you listen. It's a mixture of real food, mothering, healthy living, homemade, and faith. Stephanie likes to keep things simple, and with four young children, we're going to be talking about keeping Christmas simple and meaningful today. Welcome to the show, Stephanie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, it's easy to say, isn't it, that you've had enough of the toys, the kids are just ungrateful at this time of year, and I'm not going to buy any more toys, I'm just going to have a simple Christmas. What would you share with a parent that is trying to keep Christmas simple? Since you are a parent of four young children, what wisdom can you give us?
I think that we're very affected by what we see in society, and we think that children need or want more than they really do. Because the message is really, you need to buy more stuff and you need these big shiny toys from these stores. And it's not to say that my children might not be impressed by those things, but what we've noticed is that our kids are actually happy with really simple things. We talk about in our family that we don't need to buy a lot of things and we don't need to have a lot of toys and we can be really grateful for what we have and try to find what's fun and exciting in something simple. So I think that we can actually do our children a service by teaching them to enjoy something simpler, to enjoy having less but appreciating it more. So that's what we found with teaching our children to lower their expectations, I suppose. They don't expect that we're going to go all crazy. They expect that it's going to be simple, but that they're going to be cared for and loved and that they're going to receive things that they enjoy. So it's still going to be a special time, but without all the big hoopla that usually accompanies Christmas.
So how do you actually go about doing that? I mean, are you lowering expectations? These are all things that I know that we feel that we could do as adults, but how do you actually put that across to the children in a meaningful way for their ages so that they understand?
One thing is we do not do Christmas lists. I don't know if you did that growing up, but when I grew up, it was really common to write a letter to Santa or to write a list of the things that you wanted. That mm-hmm. doesn't happen in our house. Our children aren't even really familiar with that mm-hmm. idea because we don't want them to start thinking, oh, Christmas, well, I want this and this and this. And then that already, you know, that sets the bar pretty high. I know that as a child, if I didn't get things that were on my list, I was disappointed
yes.
instead of thankful for what I'd received. So we don't even let them go there. We prepare them that we're going to buy one or two small things. We talk with them about, like, how could we bless your sister or brother? We've always kept our stockings full of mostly consumable treats. We don't want them to be full of gifts so that they're getting all these gifts plus a stocking full of gifts. So instead, I go to the health food store and I just buy things like fizzy juice drinks, dye-free candies, yummy bars, real licorice, things like that that they really enjoy. And that's mostly what they get in their stocking so that they know that they're going to get to indulge in these yummy treats. But it's not just more gifts upon gifts, if you know what I mean.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Now, that's a really good and tangible way that you can do it. But how did you come to actually making that decision? Is it just something that you and your husband worked out together and decided to do? Or has it been over time that you've pulled pieces from different places?
Well, my husband and I, we come from a bit of a different place as far as gifts. And it's taken us a while to understand each other's Christmas traditions and, like, our family history. My family, gifts were sort of the only love language. Like, we weren't a family that was good at expressing our love or our emotions through words. And so we would buy gifts, lots of gifts. And not to say that love can't be expressed in that way, but that was sort of what I came to recognize as Christmas. But it was done in this crazy way. I mean, Christmas morning was like this chaotic free-for-all. It was suddenly like, okay, ready, set, go. And suddenly paper's flying and bows are all over the place. Boxes are being opened. And you don't even know what anybody got. And my husband, the first time when we were married, he came to a family Christmas with me. And he was like deer in the headlights. He just had no idea what was going on. And at the end of it all, literally like 20 minutes later, that's how long it took us to open this mound of gifts.
Yes.
He looked around like, really? Did you all just open that? I don't even know what anybody else got, let alone what I got. And he talked to me about it later and he said, I can't even fathom doing Christmas that way. And then I went to his family Christmas and they take one gift at a time and they all sit and watch the one person opening one gift and they open it slowly and then they ooh and they ah over it and they thank the person and they say, wow, this is so wonderful. I can't wait to use it. How does it work? And I was just sitting there like, oh my goodness, get on with it, get on with it. And so it was really interesting, the places that we've come from. But that got so much conversation going between us, especially because when we first began our family, I mean, we were on a really tight budget. There was not a lot of money. So we had to figure out, how can we still keep Christmas special, still recognize that I've kind of grown up with this idea that gifts do show a level of love and caring. They're an expression of love. But we also want it to be more meaningful than that. And we don't want our kids to just open a pile of gifts and not even know which grandparent or aunt and uncle gave it to them. We yes. want there to be a thankfulness. So that was the beginning of us talking about, okay, we're going to do this slower. We're going to have less gifts so that this is feasible to do in this slow and meaningful way. We have a small budget, so we need to talk about how many gifts we can actually afford. And so it all began really early on. And it made it an easier transition for us because we didn't already launch into the typical Christmas, but we started right away when we only had one child, two children. And so it's sort of all our children have ever known. It's been easy to implement. The only struggle we've had with it has been other family members.
Yes. Yep.
Early on my side of the family, as you might imagine. They want to buy a lot and they still expect a fair bit from us. And so we've had to really go back and forth on that. Well, how much can we buy for my family? And is it obligation or is it love? And And there's a really fine balance because my family, it still does. It still is an expression of love, those gifts, and even expensive gifts. And so we've had to say that we're more willing to spend money sometimes for certain people that we know that that's the way that they're really going to receive our care at that time of year. And then other people like his side of the family, we've gone with just choosing names from a hat. We only buy gifts for a couple of people. We can do something more meaningful and it's more simple. So we've even approached Christmas different with different sides of the family.
Yeah, that's a really important message there, I think, with our family. We're the same way that we both found that Christmas has been very difficult because we feel that it's very differently. We grew up differently doing those different things. And and even still now, we still talk about how are we going to celebrate Christmas this year. I mean, we've also got the military mix that's added into that as well. So we're not always around family and we don't always have those days off. And so you have to decide when you're going to do it. And then we're time shifted. We live in a different time zone to one side of the family now. It used to be both sides of the family. So it was always, when do we call for Christmas? How do we get everything ready in time? It just seemed that everything was all to do with dates. But I was wondering about choosing presents, because you've talked a little bit about how the gifts have to be meaningful for the ones that you do. If you are picking presents and deciding gifts or making gifts, how far in advance do you have to be prepared to do this?
You know, some years I've gone really far in advance. I've had years where I've been really beginning to think about my list and the gift ideas back as early as September. And that did work for me in some seasons. Now that I have four kids, I honestly find it easier to focus on it all in a more condensed period of time than over a long stretch. So I don't do the a lot of the pre-planning and pre-thinking. It's more about just really sitting down and trying to think through what I know each person would enjoy. And, you know, we don't do a lot of handmade, homemade gifts because that's not either me or my husband's area of skill. We're not those people that, you know, build. He doesn't craft things for our family members out of wood and that, you know, that would take months. I don't hand make all sorts of gifts. I don't sew. So we still have, you know, there's ease for us in that we can settle on a gift and just go ahead and buy it. But one thing that we lean towards is clutter-free gifts. That can often be like the form of a memory or an activity or an event. And we find that that itself adds a lot of meaning. So for my daughter's birthday, she just turned 8 yesterday. One of her main gifts is that she's going with her dad on Sunday night. They're going to go see the symphony, and it's the symphony combined with sort of like a Cirque du Soleil, kind of like acrobatic.
Oh, wow. Yes. I come?
I know. Isn't it amazing? I wish I got to go. But he's really excited to give that to her because it's not just about a gift that she's going to forget in a year. It's about a memory that they're making together. And that doesn't just have to be something that you can do with your kids for a birthday. That can be for Christmas, too. Somebody has purchased for me a photography course, and that was a really special gift. Or we've purchased tickets to go to a concert or to go to a special sporting event that somebody really enjoyed. And again, it's just that memory. So those kind of gifts can be some of the best because most of us don't need more stuff, but it's really wonderful to remember something that you did with another person, a shared event. And that's the kind of memory that will stick with you. And you'll remember that that person gave it to you.
Exactly. Yeah, wise advice. Have you got a few points that you can share about keeping the celebration of Christmas itself, keeping the Christ in Christmas for us today?
There are a few things that we do. One is that I like to start at the end of November to do an Advent celebration book or work through an Advent daily devotional plan. And it's something that can be done in as little as 10 to 15 minutes each day. It's usually very simple. And I always go ahead with a preset, like an ebook or a plan, so that it's, you know, it's all prepared for me. But that way I can walk through the devotional with my kids each day. And it really just prepares our hearts for Christmas, but in a really simple way. And the ones that I've done, I've used one book that was written by Anne Voskamp of A Holy Experience. And then another one called Truth in the Tinsel by a blogger, Amanda, of the blog Oh Amanda. Actually, sorry, I think the blog is called Impress Your Kids now.
Yes, you
might be familiar with it. So both of those are really excellent. The one by Anne Voskamp, it included ornament printouts. And so you just print those pages out, and then your kids can cut them out, they can color them, and you can just put up an ornament each day. It's very, very simple. Truth in the Tinsel involves more craft ideas, which is a little bit more elaborate, although Amanda gives you, you know, a full list of supplies and exactly how to do it, so it's very well laid out for you. So either of those are really good for moms who want to incorporate more meaning. You could do that at the dinner table with your whole family when your husband is home, or you can do it after breakfast with the kids, which is what I usually do because my husband works long hours. We don't always have dinners together anyway. Yeah. But that's been something really special for us. Another thing is that on Christmas morning, we've tried to keep Christmas morning very much about Christ and not about the gifts. And so we do allow the children to come and gather in our bed first thing on Christmas morning, and we'll open our stockings, which, as I said, are usually just, you know, treats that we can enjoy together. But that is it as far as gift opening until we have read the Christmas story. So then we'll all sit on our bed together, and my husband will open up the Bible and he'll read the entire Christmas story from start to finish, which is a little bit long for young kids, but they're used to it. They snuggle with us. They're eating their treats. They're really happy about it. And then we'll go and prepare a nice breakfast. And then after breakfast cleanup, then we will sit and open our gifts. So the gifts are really like, they're the last part of the morning. Yes. So, you know, our kids can't be getting up at 4:30 or 5 a.m. thinking, oh, open the gifts, because they know not what our morning is about.
I like the way that you've changed that around and shifted the focus and how it's completely been adapted and adopted by your family in that way.
I really enjoy it as a change from my childhood, because I was that child who woke up at 5 to run to the tree. There's just something so different about making the morning about what it's really about, starting with that story and starting with a family breakfast and prayer together. And it just really sets the stage for the rest of the day. And I love that part of our celebration. And then the other thing that I love that we started last year, and we're going to continue it this year and hopefully every other year, we really wanted to find a way for our kids to be a part of giving and serving at Christmas. But we were finding it challenging. We wanted to volunteer at a food bank or a soup kitchen or something like that. But we kept running into the problem that young children are not allowed to help in those situations. And so instead, what we've done is two things. One is we go and buy groceries each year to put into food hampers that our church puts together. So the kids get to go buy the groceries with us and bring the food to the church. And then that gets put into hampers that are going to go to local families in need. And then the other thing we do is, as part of our Christmas budget, which I recommend that everybody does, is you actually make a budget of how much you'll spend each year for Christmas. But we set aside money in that budget so that on Christmas morning, while we're opening our gifts, we stop and take turns to go into the Compassion International Christmas gift catalog, which is online, and we'll let each child choose how they want to give their portion of the money.
Oh,
so they can
do
things like chickens for a family, or seeds for a farmer, or books for school children, or maybe medicine for a clinic. And so it's very visual and tangible for the kids, because they get to go on the website in between opening their own gifts, and they get to say, I really want to give chickens to this family, or look at these cute pigs, wouldn't that be helpful for this family? They just feel really invested because they got to choose what they wanted to give. So that's been a really special part of our Christmas traditions.
The way that you are adapting things and carrying on with them. I know for us, as one child comes along, we had high hopes of we're going to do all these things at Christmas time. And then reality struck and we realized that's too much. And so the next year you do a little less, and then another child came along. And so now we're up to three children, and we've tried so many different things until we now finally find something that really works for us. Mm-hmm. And I love listening to the different traditions and the different ways that people celebrate the holidays, because if you can start off really calmly and that you have goals for what you want to achieve, everything is just so much easier. It's much easier to have a simpler Christmas and to have the focus of what you want.
Right. I haven't talked a lot about the things that we make together, the crafts and the baking and the cooking and the decorations, because that is not a major part of our Christmas celebration, I have to say. We do a tree about a week or two before Christmas, but it's not very fancy. Mm-hmm. I'll choose one or two baking projects with the kids over the course of the month of December, and we might make one handmade gift, like maybe some, you know, a homemade body scrub to give to the grandmas. But that is it. I don't do extensive baking. I don't even host a large Christmas dinner. We attend a dinner with family where we bring a dish or two to contribute. The house is not decorated fancy aside from our tree. All we have is a few small items on mantles and a couple things on walls that the children can't touch and get into because we've got toddlers and crawling babies.
Ah, yes.
I mean, I'm not doing all of those things. So it's easier to be intentional about what you do if you're not feeling overwhelmed by all of the other kind of peripheral activities that can take place around Christmas.
Well, what about the other side of the holiday season when you don't feel the spirit to be happy, but you've got young children around? You shared a post some time ago called Preparing My Heart for Christmas. I wondered if you could share a little bit about the post and the significance of that.
Sure. I wrote that post, I believe it was two Christmases ago, and basically it had been a really hard year for us. I had struggled with some burnout and depression that year, and we'd had the loss of some family members and friends. We'd also just had a friend, close friend recently diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and there were just a lot of things going on for us at that time. It was a really hard year, and so when Christmas came up, I didn't feel very celebratory.
Yeah.
And so I really backed off of a lot of the typical Christmas celebration things that year. And instead what I tried to do was focus myself on remembering what was true and what was good and what I had to be grateful for and finding real joy in Christ and cultivating real gratefulness for the blessings in my life. And it was okay to let go of all those other Christmas things. And in some ways, that Christmas was more meaningful because it settled in my heart what Christmas was about. And it settled for me that I have so many blessings, so many things to be grateful for. And the greatest of those is that I have a Savior and that's what I celebrate at Christmas. So it didn't matter that my house wasn't very decorated that year. And it didn't matter that we didn't have sugar cookies to eat. And all of the, you know, those things kind of fell by the wayside, and it was more of a heart celebration that year. So for anybody who's in that place, I would say let go of the expectations and the feelings of obligation that you need to do Christmas in this big way, in the typical way, because you don't. Let Christmas be about what really, really matters. Do as much as you can do, and you don't have to fake it. You don't have to put on a happy smile and say, we're so joyful because it's Christmas, and be where you are. And if you're sad, if you're in a lonely place or a grieving place, then I think it's okay to be there and to just try to keep your mind stayed on why we celebrate. I don't know, that was what helped me. I mentioned in the post that I even was reading the book Heaven, which would be kind of a strange book for me to be reading it at Christmas usually. But I wanted to just think, I wanted to think forward. I wanted to give myself hope. And really, that's what Christmas is about.
Yes.
It's the hope of Jesus coming. And it's not about all the decorations and the turkey and the gifts under the tree. It's about hope in our hearts. So I think if you can focus on that, you can still have a really meaningful Christmas, even when you're not really looking forward to the celebration.
At the end of the show, I usually have a few getting to know you questions that we just dig a little deeper and find out a little bit more about each other. And the questions that I have for you today are, what two actions have you taken in the last 2 years that have had a positive effect on your life?
I was thinking about that. There are two things, and they sort of both have to do with work, because I am I'm a stay-at-home mom, but I'm also a work-at-home mom, and I have 4 young children, so as you can imagine, there's a lot to be done. There's always a lot on my plate.
Yes.
And one of the very best things that I've done in the past couple of years is I've really separated my work time from my family time. And I used to think that I could do it near my children and I could be available to my children while doing work. And I really liked that idea. And I know that it works well for some moms and for some families, but it didn't for me because my kids would talk to me and I would be in work mode still. And I would be like, And I wasn't really listening to them and giving them my attention. And my work was suffering as well. I really put firm boundaries on these are my work hours and these are my family hours. And that has just been the best thing because then when I'm with my kids, I am with my kids and they don't have to compete with my computer or my email. And when I'm working, I'm focused and I work hard to get it done so that my family time can be my family time. So that has had such a positive effect on our family. One more thing, let me think. Oh, actually, I can think of something simple that's been a really good thing that I've done. The second action that I've taken that has had a positive effect has been learning that it's okay to make really simple meals. Maybe that's kind of self-explanatory for some moms, but I thought that I used to have to make these really elaborate meals that they had to, you know, have a salad and they had to have a dessert some nights of the week and they had to be, you know, very like three courses or something. They had to be fancy. I've learned that my family is okay when I make the simplest meals ever. Even my husband, sometimes I'm like, are you sure this is okay? Do you want me to get you something else? And he's like, no, this is great. And literally it's just like a bowl of soup and a piece of bread. And that's fantastic. Yes. Or even when my husband is out working, I will ask my children if they want to come and help me make something. And we will do something crazy. Like we'll make popcorn and smoothies with some greens in them. And we'll call that dinner and vegetables. And that's awesome.
That is. Wow, you do some fun things. So what were you doing 12 years ago? That would be the year 2000.
Yeah, I was 20 years old. I was in my fourth year of university. And I was living with a friend. It was the first time I'd ever lived off campus with a roommate. And it was the first time I ever decorated my own tree and celebrated Christmas in my own place. It was so exciting. I remember I had like no money that year. I was on student loans, but I went to Michael's. And do you guys have Michael's?
No, we don't have it. Sadly, we don't, no.
It's like a big craft store. I'm trying to, like Joann's?
Yeah, we don't have that either. I know both of them. When I was living in the States, then I love to go there myself. We have smaller stores, similar but not the same.
Okay. So anyways, I went to a big crafting kind of store and I bought my first ever decorations. And I even bought this angel tree topper that we still use every year. And that was so exciting for me to begin to create my own Christmas celebrations in my own place. I loved that year.
Well, yeah, that's really significant actually, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Let's talk for the last question about your favorite play activity that's going on in your household. So you have four children. I never asked what their ages are. So perhaps you could tell us what their ages are and maybe the favorite play activity either of each of them or a group of them or however you'd like to share.
Okay, well, my children are, I have an 8-year-old girl and then a 5-year-old boy and a 3.5-year-old girl and then a 9-month-old baby boy. The baby, his favorite activity is putting everything and anything in his mouth, and that's pretty much what he does. But the big children, they're pretty good at playing together. They're really into Lego right now, but I would say what even more than Lego, their favorite play activity is building forts. And just this morning, they were turning our family room into this big elaborate fort. And of course, they go into my linen closet in the hallway when they do this, and they grab out every sheet and blanket and pillowcase, everything that they can find. I end up losing every chair from our kitchen table, and they make these huge forts. And when Daddy gets involved, it's even that much better. Love to pull their stuffed animals and their books and everything into the fort. And sometimes it's a little dicey because sometimes they want to create their own fort. So then we end up with three different forts. But, oh, my fort isn't as good as her fort. And my fort is falling down and she bumped into my fort. And
yes.
When they do it together, fort building is very fun.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. We've talked a lot about simplifying our Christmas, but we've not mentioned your blog at all. Could you tell us a little bit about your blog and where we can find you online?
Sure. Well, my blog is called Keeper of the Home, and you can find it at keeperofthehome.org. And I have been blogging for about 5 years. And my blog began as more of a personal blog, sharing just about my own experiences in moving towards healthier living, more nutritious cooking, eating real foods, and things like that. And it also includes a little bit about mothering and homemaking, sometimes organization. But I would say the main gist of my blog is that it's homemaking for Christian women from more of a natural perspective, a healthy perspective. Now I actually have a whole team of writers that work with me, so I'm able to really diversify the content, and my writers are just fantastic. They bring in so many tutorials for homemade things. We do herbal remedies, we do homemade beauty care, you know, how to make your own non-toxic cleaning supplies, as well as a ton of food recipes, and then just encouragement for moms in their homemaking and in their mothering. And I just love running it. It's such a privilege to do it.
Today I've been talking to Stephanie Langford, author and owner of Keeper of the Home, about keeping Christmas simple. I'll be right back after this short break.
Hello, I'm Ruth.
And I'm John, and we're from Parental Geekery.
And you're listening to Raising Playful Tots.
Welcome back to the show. You just heard from my friends and fellow podcasters, Parental Geekery, where they share their parenting and gadgets at parentalgeekery.com. Just on a side note, usually I slip in a guest intro between the end of the interview and the final part of the show. Gives me a chance to catch my breath. Each of the people you hear in that section is a past guest or podcast I think that you'll love. I know Ruth listens to the show, so if you're into your iPad, apps, smartphones, computers, gadgets, any of those types of things for families and kids, they are the people to follow. They're the people to listen to. Thanks for producing your shows, guys. I hope you get a chance to pop on over to Keeper of the Home and get to know Stephanie and her work. It's really interesting how our Christmas and seasonal celebrations grow and change with our families compared to how we did them when we were growing up. I'm sure you have stories too, just like we had, about Christmas celebrations and the things that you do and things that you don't want to do, when you open your presents, how you keep Christmas simple and meaningful. Was there a moment during that interview where you were really nodding your head and saying, yep, that's us, or wow, that would never be us? Come share your thoughts on the interview by visiting raisingplayfultots.com/121, that's 121, and scroll down to the comments and leave your comment there. Talking of comments, I want to thank Jen Woodworth for your comment on Alphabet Glue, all about libraries, and you mentioned about using the online system and keeping it online to keep up to date, and I'm really grateful for that piece of advice because it's something that I need to get a really better hold of. And you did some really, it was good. It was just good to be able to read that and have the advice there. Thanks a lot for coming over and leaving a comment and helping me out like that. It's also been fun chatting this week to people like DJ Nelson, Carolyn from Pleasantest Thing, Tonya from The Chatty Mum, and Music Bugs about Christmas activities that they're doing at home. Thanks also to Early Ed Grab Bag, Sandra, Vicky from What Really Matters podcast, Danielle, Josephine, Francis, Early Languages, Downside Up, and so many others of you for your likes, your tweets, your comments, and sharing ideas about raising a playful tot. It's so lovely when we can get together and chat about these things in all the different places and share the things that we're doing. Just a few last things. I like to do an end of year celebration on the podcast, a kind of a best of edition of the shows for 2012. I've done this for the last couple of years and it's been really popular. People seem to like to get a snippet of what's been going on. So if you have a favourite show, I'd like your input this year and see what you have. Question that you liked, maybe it was a moment during the show that you found really interesting. I would love to include this in this special show that I want to do at the end of the year. giving you plenty of time so that you can go and look at the shows at raisingplayfultots.com/shows. Maybe you have one in mind right now. If you do, go over to feedback and leave a comment. That's raisingplayfultots.com/feedback and leave a comment. Tell us who you are, where you're from, and which show it is. If you don't want me to include your voicemail in the show, then just let me know there too, and I'll just take out what you've said and be able to put that into the show. So go now to raisingplayfultots.com/feedback and leave your comment. All the shows are listed there. I mentioned at the top of the show about homemade wrapping paper, and that was talking about a post from Anna of Imagination Tree. This is part of a series that you should know about. Creative Christmas Countdown 2012. That's Creative Christmas Countdown. See, I was going to say, can you say that twice? I can. Creative Christmas Countdown 2012. Woo. And that's featured by Create with Kids and Red Ted Art. And what they've done is they've got together 24 bloggers to do 24 activities to celebrate the season. And this is an online advent calendar with daily ideas for fun, simple family activities. So there's a chance for you to make your holiday magical without stress, which is part of what the interview was about today. You can jump in at any time, because the bloggers will be using basic materials that we usually have on hand at home, especially at this time of year. They also have a clickable list of Christmas activities in which a new one is added each day. And one of those was the Christmas wrapping paper that I talked about today. You can subscribe to the countdown via email and you'll receive an email with the activity in there. Also, they have activity and supply lists if you want to as well. Another series that is going on at the moment is Christmas Around the World, and this is done by Beth from Living the Life Intentionally blog. She's doing a Christmas Around the World series, and for 32 days, that's from November the 23rd to December the 24th, you'll get to travel to a new country each day, learning about how the holidays are celebrated. You get to make a creative craft, or maybe try a new recipe, maybe teach your kids a little something about geography, and there's so many other things that you can do, all from the comfort of your home. Beth has also done a free Christmas Around the World ebook. It's a kind of a companion guide that goes along with the entire series, and you'll find a sheet for each country, helpful links to learn more, colouring sheets, etc., etc. And it's aimed at children from ages 2 all the way up to 12. Now, what's the great thing about both these series is, although they go all the way through the whole of December, and December is spectacularly busy for many of us, you can pick and choose which activities that you want to do, which crafts you want to do. Maybe you have a craft in afternoon or day and you want to do a whole bunch of them all at once. Or maybe you want to go along and do one at a time, or just pick maybe one or maybe two. That's the beauty of these series, that you get to have all this inspiration and you can do it with other people. And all with stuff that's generally around the house. Gives us a chance to raise these playful tots in just a little different way at this time of year. To make it a little easier for you to find these activities, I've made a short link. So if you go to raisingplayfultots.com/countdown2012, that's countdown 2012, that will take you straight over to the Create with Kids Creative Christmas Countdown 2012. And you'll be able to see what's up over there. And if you go to raisingplayfultots.com/world2012, that's world 2012, you'll go straight over to Beth and you'll find out about the Christmas Around the World, how you can join in, the book to download, where to go to find out all the information. It'll all be there. Now, I've given a lot of links today To catch up on all the links that have been mentioned in the show, as always, pop on over to the show notes. That's raisingplayfultots.com/121. That's 121. And all of the links will be there for you to be able to see. So I hope that you have a really playful week and you get a chance to check out some of these places and leave comments. So that's about it for this episode. Thanks so much for listening to Raising Playful Tots. If you love the show and you found value in it, would you do me a favour and go over to the raisingplayfultots.com/iTunes page, and there on iTunes, give us a quick, honest review. We're at 14 five-star ratings at the moment and 8 reviews that I can see in one store. It totally keeps me going to see your comments there. Thanks, Audrey, for the latest one. If you don't like what you hear, I want to know about that too, because all I want to do is improve, and the feedback is one of the ways that I get to know the things that you like, the things that you would want, and the things that you'd rather I don't do as much of. If you're a fan of Raising Playful Tots and you like what you've heard, we'd love if you could share some of the love by visiting raisingplayfultots.com/love. What this will do is it will pre-populate a tweet in your Twitter feed that will say something like, hey, I like listening to the Raising Playful Tots podcast with at Play Activities. And it gives a link so that other people can come and find the show just like you have. If you'd like to comment on the show, go to the show notes at 121 and scroll down and leave a comment there. Thanks. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 121. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Goodbye.